weather on AM 930. Overnight clear skies with a low near zero. Sunshine Tuesday early, then clouds, high of 35.
It's Bull's Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Minutes after 4 o'clock, Bull's Eye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. He's Matt Douglas, I'm Andy Bull Barch, and you've got us for another couple of hours here. Chris Holtman and company talking Ohio State Buckeyes basketball at 6 o'clock tonight. That'll come your way when we wrap up. We've got a lot of high school action throughout the course of the week and into the weekend as well. Of course, all of that now is weather permitting. After that gigantic storm rolled through this weekend, leaving us with some very, very cold temperatures for at least the next couple of days. Well, it's not cold out in Hollywood. And that's where our next guest is joining us from. He's our Hollywood insider, Al Harris. Al, how are you, my friend?
You're wrong. It's a little cold today.
Oh, chilly. Boy. Okay, give me chilly. What's chilly, 60 degrees?
I think it's like 65, but it's pretty windy.
Oh, you poor thing.
Hunker down.
That's right. Did you go to the store, get all your milk and bread and all that good stuff?
Dude, I had to wear a hoodie. I actually had to wear, like, real shoes. This is... It's an issue here, man. I haven't had to wear socks in a while.
I love how you rubbed that in. Very well done, my friend. Well, a lot to catch up on. And something that kind of came down the pipe last week I wanted to bring to your attention today to get your thoughts on this new Space Force series on Netflix. And it, of course, became at least a little bit more intriguing since they added the name of Steve Carell. He apparently is going to be at the forefront of this. So what are your thoughts initially and what we're hearing about the ideas of this new Space Force series on Netflix?
One is, you said it became a little more intriguing when Steve Carell added in. I would disagree with that, and I would say it became intriguing. I mean, the idea of, like, a Space Force thing is obviously, you know, based on Trump's declaration of making a Space Force. It was an okay idea. Like, yeah, whatever, obviously. Space Force, do it. Once you add Steve Carell, it becomes something worth talking about. And I think that's huge because, I mean, we've talked about it. Office is one of the most defining sitcoms of the last, you know, of the 2000s. And so now Netflix is bringing Steve Carell in, hoping for some of that magic to continue and really add to Netflix. And if you can do, like, an Office-style show, I don't know how, like I said, I have no idea what they're going to go with it. But Steve Carell isn't the same Steve Carell from The Office either. He's been nominated for Academy Awards. He's starring in films. Like, this is a big get for Netflix to star in the show. I'm curious to see if they bring any of the politics into it because it was a Trump thing, and I don't really know. Wonder what they're going to do with it. But, yeah, I think, like I said, I think it became a thing once Carell signed in, and I think it's worth monitoring.
Yeah, without question. I think anytime you attach his name to something, it immediately gets a great deal of attention. And speaking of Netflix, I had a chance to sit down and watch this comedy yesterday with Chevy Chase, Richard Dreyfuss, Andy McDowell even played a part in this as well, called Last Laugh. Now, it debuted earlier this month, and you know, it made me laugh. And it wasn't the greatest thing I've ever seen, but it certainly wasn't bad. It was nice to take a trip down memory lane to see the likes of Chevy Chase and Richard Dreyfuss, guys I really hadn't seen much of in a while. Have you had a chance to watch this?
I have not, but it's definitely what I read was the reviews were mixed, which I think goes with what you were saying. It wasn't the best thing, but it wasn't the worst thing. But it really goes with kind of what Netflix has been gearing towards, like. I mean, they're gearing towards everything, right? They're not just one thing, right? They do, like we talked about, Space Force. They're doing these auteuristic movies. They're doing a lot of, but they have a lot of shows and movies geared towards older viewers, which I find interesting because I would think most, I'm trying not to sound ageist here, but a lot of elder viewers might not be on the streaming bandwagon, right? They're probably like things the way they were. Like CBS has always done really well with elder viewers. But they've been going towards that, not just with The Last Laugh, but there was The Kominsky Method, which stars Alan Arkin and Michael Douglas, which just won a Golden Globe Award. Grace and Frankie, which was Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda. So this is something they've been doing for a while. And I think usually they're, I think what they're doing is they're not beholding themselves to one demographic, right? They're trying to get every demographic, or at least something to appeal to every demographic. And Last Laugh just fits into that. Like I said, I haven't seen it. I might check it out. I like Richard Dreyfuss. But I looked at the trailer, and it seemed like Chevy Chase was the straight man, which is weird to me, and Richard Dreyfuss is the goofy comedian. I don't know how I feel about that, but I'm sure I'll give it a watch eventually, especially with your recommendation, Bull. But like I said, I think it's more interesting in what Netflix's vision is than actually the movie itself.
Yeah, it's nice and light, and I think that's why I liked it. It was funny. I mean, it wasn't one of those things where you watch it and you're falling out of your chair, but it wasn't bad. It certainly wasn't bad. I think you'll get a kick out of it. It takes up an hour and a half of your time. It's certainly not too bad. Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Trailer was released a little bit earlier for season 3 on this show, Documentary Now. Thoughts on the first couple of seasons for those who have not seen it, and do you think this third season could be worth watching on IFC?
Well, Documentary Now. I'm not the best person to talk about this because Documentary Now has been on my to-watch list for the last 3 years. I've heard great things. It's really smart in the way it does it. It's with, for those that don't know, it's Bill Hader, Fred Armisen, and each episode they basically make fun of a documentary or a genre of documentaries. Whether it's James Carville's documentary, I forgot what it was called, about when he was Bill Clinton's speechwriter, they made fun of that. It seems like these parodies are very spot on and really, really well done. And I've heard nothing but good things. So it's continued to be in my list. I'm sure I'll catch one eventually. But for those of you that like, you know, parodies, satire, like documentaries, this is probably right up your alley. And I will watch it eventually, but that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I can chime in on that. I've seen the first two seasons. I really like them. I think these are at their best when they do the musical ones because, at least from what I witnessed, I mean, they go in 100%. They write these songs that really you're just kind of hear a blip of, but they're actually kind of like, huh, I wouldn't mind hearing the rest of that. The Blue Jean Committee is one of my favorite ones for those people out there. That's a two-part episode that really was well thought out. It is funny, but it's well thought out, too.
Well, and that's the good thing. Well, Fred Armisen's very talented musically, and I think that lends to them be able to make fun of, you know, the music ones. And they're both very good at impressions, so it really works well for both of them. And I'm actually surprised that Hader's able to do a third season with, you know, Barry becoming such a hit, but I'm glad that he's still able to do things that seem like very more important to him, you know, like keep his, you know, like the shows that hit him personally. I'm missing the word I'm looking for, but he's able to not just do the big HBO show, but also go back to like his IFC show and work on that.
Yeah. And I know they're parodies and they're parody of the artsy documentary and everything, but they are kind of artsy in themselves too. It's a fascinating watch. I'd have to say that.
Al, I got to ask you about this new Ghostbusters movie coming out in 2020. It's Jeff Reitman, right? Ivan Reitman's son is going to direct this. What do we know? I'm sorry? Jason Reitman. What do we know about him, and should we have high expectations for this new Ghostbusters movie?
I don't know, right? So real quick, Jason Reitman is actually a pretty talented director in his own right. He did Juno, which I really enjoyed. He did the heck is that movie called with George Clooney, Up in the Air, whatever that one was. That was really good. He's done a lot. Thank You for Smoking. He just recently did Tully, which is supposed to be really good. Like, he's a really good director. He's made a couple bad movies, but for the most part, he's really good with his humanist style directing, kind of humorous, but not really overly funny, like kind of like subdued humor. So I have no idea. This seems a little out of his wheelhouse. I guess it's cool that he's, you know, doing what his father did, which is pretty sweet. But I don't know. And the trailer made it look like it was more of like a Stranger Things type. I guess it's focusing on young kids. It's in the same universe as Ghostbusters, unlike the original Ghostbusters, unlike the female-led version was. That was like its own entity. This is actually in that same universe. And all of the surviving or still living members of Ghostbusters will be in it. So it could be fun. It seems like it's, like I said, a little more Stranger Things-ish, like Spielberg type with the kids and everything. And it looks like it, from the trailer and from what I've heard, it seems a little more artistic and maybe taking itself a little more serious than Ghostbusters originally did. So I don't know how I feel about that, especially with him directing it. But I don't know, man. I'm cool with another Ghostbusters. It's nothing like, there's certain movies, like with the Coming to America 2 movie got announced. I don't need to see that. I don't need a new Back to the Future. A new Ghostbusters, I'm cool with it. So we'll see. I don't know how he's going to direct it. I'm kind of curious. But like I said, I think it's a good idea. I'll watch it. It's just a weird choice for a director. I get it. He got the job because of his father, right? I think that's why, because he doesn't seem like the perfect person to do a new Ghostbusters. But I'll withhold judgment until I see it.
Fair enough. And again, it's supposed to come out in 2020. And before we cut you loose here today, my friend, we'll get to your picks to click here in just a second. But who do you anticipate will earn Oscar nominations when they are announced at some point tomorrow?
Well, so I've been looking, people can, if they're interested in looking at like the odds and everything, you go to goldderby.com, you go to a few other places that'll have their predictions and their odds. To me, I'm anticipating a big day of nominations for both A Star Is Born and Roma. I think Star Is Born is probably in the driver's seat for Best Picture, and Roma might be in the driver's seat for Best Director as of now. I'm really interested in seeing how Best Actor shakes out, because I think both Christian Bale and Rami Malek and even Bradley Cooper, to a lesser extent, all have a chance of winning. I see both, all three of them being nominated. But a lot of these ones, like we just talked about, I think are shoo-ins, right?
Sure.
I'm really more interested tomorrow to see people on the outskirts. And my number one is, I loved the movie First Reformed. Ethan Hawke carried that movie. It's, for those that don't know, it's directed by the writer of Taxi Driver and feels very much like a modern day Taxi Driver. And that's my probably top five favorite movie of all time. And Ethan Hawke in the De Niro type role, and he's marvelous in it. It's a movie he carries, and I'd love to see him get nominated. I think he's right now on the outskirts. He had a lot of pub at the beginning and kind of lost. So I'm hoping good things for him. And then, I'm kind of curious to see if Michael B. Jordan is able to break the Best Supporting Actor category for Black Panther and become pretty much, I think, the first Marvel superhero movie to be nominated for an acting award. As you remember, Heath Ledger won for Dark Knight, but that was DC. Marvel's really not really well known for their acting as much as for, you know, their have a good time, fun type movies. But I'd love to see Michael B. Jordan crack that. And so that's what we're seeing tomorrow for sure, is the people kind of on the outskirts to see if they can push through. But I don't think we're going to see a lot of shockers tomorrow. And then it's just going to set up Academy Awards, which I think will be – I have a lot more questions about the actual winners of the Academy Awards than I do about the nominations. And the other thing I will mention is I'm kind of curious to see a couple movies that had a lot of Oscar pub before – they premiered and kind of have been lost since has been Steve McQueen's movie Widows and Damien Chazelle's movie First Man about Neil Armstrong. I've not seen First Man. I've heard actually really good things, and I actually really liked Widows a lot and kind of surprised to see that kind of lost in the shuffle. I thought Viola Davis was absolutely phenomenal and should be nominated for Best Actress, but she's kind of got completely lost. So those two movies, I'm really interested to see if either of them get a nomination.
Good stuff, my friend. Well, before we cut you loose, we need this week's picks to click. What do you have lined up for us?
Give me a sec. I had this, and I lost it, so I'm going to find it real quick. I'm just going to keep rambling. All right, so on Netflix, January 25th, there's this British thriller coming out. It's supposed to be really good for really good things. It's a kind of a political thriller. It's called Black Earth Rising. It stars rising British star Michaela Cole and your boy, John Goodman. I saw the trailer. It looks great. From what I've heard originally, it might be one of John Goodman's best performances ever. So how can you say no to that? So I'm definitely in for that. That comes out Friday, January 25th. It's only an 8-episode series. I think it's a limited series. So, yeah, check it out. That should be good.
Very good stuff. Well, Al, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. You stay warm in those frigid 60-degree temperatures out there in Hollywood. We'll talk to you again next week.
I'm not leaving the house, man. I'm bundled up. I'm like got my hot cocoa going, dude. I'm good.
Nice. Yeah. We are all so envious over here, and we're looking at single-digit temperatures. Al, thanks for the time, my friend.
All right, have a good one.
You too. Again, Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We need to get to a break. The local news is coming your way right after this here on AM 930 WEOL.
Only 0.5% of all high school student athletes play basketball in college, but all 100%